Thank you for this day that you have blessed us with, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to come into this place, Father. Amen. And to lift you up, O God, and to give you glory and honor. And Lord, we ask that you would look down upon us, O God, and give us grace in your sight. And Lord, as we are standing here in your presence, Lord, I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon us, O Lord, and minister unto each and every one of us. God, do a work in us, O Lord. Quicken us, Lord, in your spirit, God, and lift us up, Lord, that we can abide with you in your presence, O God, in those heavenly places. And Father, you know every person in this, amen, sanctuary tonight, Lord. You know every heart, God. I pray that you administer to the needs, Lord, that are represented. And God, as you instructed us, Lord, to cast our cares upon you, I pray, Lord, that as we offer up our petitions, Lord Jesus, and our supplications unto you, Lord, God, that you would receive, O Lord. And Father, that you would bless your people, Lord. Go before them, Lord. Make a way, God, and minister to every need, Lord, that we have. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would bind us together, Lord. Bind us together that we can be one body, Lord. Father, that we can be of one mind and of one spirit, in one accord, Lord, in this place. And let your love abound, O God. Amen. And let us have liberty in your presence. Bless the ministry of your word, O God. And I pray that you would open up our ears, Lord, that we may hear, our eyes that we may see, Lord, and our hearts that we can be turned unto you. Bless us, O God. We ask this, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bless our worship, our praise, O God, in this place. And we give you all the glory, the honor, Lord, and the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.
We're going to start on page 341.
Power greater than any earthly foe, and I'm so
172.
Freedom from my sorrow, I fell. another time, O God, to come to your presence, Lord. Come with all these offerings, Lord, and all our givings, Lord. We ask that you bless us, Lord. Lord, for your use, God, we ask this, Lord, in your mighty most merciful name.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Here I am. good, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So beautiful.
Thank you.
It's just like the song
Yonder, Yonder
says, here I am.
Amen.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Jesus. Praise God. Thank you.
Your worship.
Hallelujah. No better experience than to be able just to come out from the things that we have. Amen. Been immersed in during the day and then come into the presence of God.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Into that rest.
Yes.
Into that rest and refreshing. Such a beautiful experience.
Amen.
A beautiful experience that we can, amen, we can come into God's house and we can be ministered to.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
It's really important. This is a place where we can develop a lot of social skills and skills that can help with our relationship, our relationships, and all that. This is where we can learn all that. It can become more effective. Our life can be more, amen, pleasing, more better, more happier. Praise God.
Amen.
More peaceful, more loving. We can just go on and on. All the benefits of coming to the house of God.
Amen.
That's what takes place, and that's what we're attempting to do, to fall into that place. We can be inspired,
yes,
influenced.
Amen.
By good things, by positive things, by uplifting, yes, things.
Amen.
In the house of God. And it's not just a thing where we can come and just, we can feed our intellect, but we can feed our spirit, our soul.
Yep.
Yes.
We can be touched in all those different areas. And, amen. We can experience God's goodness. Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. It's a personal thing.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's really important. A lot of people do not understand relationship, especially relationship with others. Your relationship with others.
Yes.
A lot of people do not understand that. What is the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do,
right,
unto you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And so, if you want people to treat you good, then you treat them good.
Right.
Amen. And it's always going to come back around.
Yes.
Amen. What goes around comes around.
Yes.
Another cliche.
That's right.
We're so used to and we're so familiar with, but there's a lot of wisdom in that.
Yes.
What goes around comes around. If you,
yes,
want to be treated good,
yep,
then treat people good.
Yes. Yep.
If you want to be loved, yeah, then love.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
If you want to be respected, well, be respectful.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
No, it's a golden rule. Mm-hmm. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a golden rule. That's a good rule to live by, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
We can gain so much by that. We can benefit by it. We can flourish. Mm-hmm. It helps us with our our, praise God, our ability to be able to, amen, just to, you know, have some progress, especially in our development. You don't want to grow up all your life or grow up in life being miserable all the time, do you?
No. 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 I like that. No.
Praise God. Or not being content.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Listen to those words. They're really important.
Yes.
Contentment.
Yes.
Satisfaction.
Yes.
Being satisfied. Being full. All those in all the areas. The Lord, that's the Lord's intention through His word, by instruction, so that we can be content. We can. It's really hard for people to be content.
Right.
Yep.
It's hard for people to be satisfied. It's hard for people just to experience the peace. And to be joyful,
yes.
To be loving. It's hard for people. The thing about it is we fail to recognize that as long as we remain in the state of mind and the state of being that we are in, where we cannot experience those things. Let me tell you something. Those are virtues.
Right.
Those are virtues that God would want us to have in our lives. So that our lives can be better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can truly be content and you can truly be satisfied. Yes. And as Peter said, people that lack these things, these virtues, people that lack these things, they'll always fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have to understand it. That's the reason why we're never happy. That's the reason why we're never content. That's the reason why we're never satisfied. That's the reason why we're never full.
Wow.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you.
Who says the word of God is boring? You don't know what you're talking about.
Amen. It is not.
I stood up one time in a seminar because people were just persecuting God and they're persecuting the scripture and I just... Praise God. It just didn't sit well with me. So and it was kind of funny because it was ironic because they were taking personal, they wanted to know what everybody thought about the day's session. And it ended up, I was the last one they called upon. They started on this side and they went around the room and I was the last person they called upon. Man, I tell you what,
yeah.
When I stood up, I said, you know what, those of you that are judging the word of God, I said, you know the Bible says, never judge a book by its cover?
Yep.
I said, don't judge the Bible if you haven't read it.
Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't read it, don't judge it.
Right.
Don't say anything about it.
Amen.
Don't judge it if you've never read it. Because you're going to find out in here, in this book, there's so much about this book
yep.
that you do not know, you do not understand. So how can you talk about it?
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
The only way you can ever get to a place where you can know what this is all about is open it up and read it with an open mind and an open heart.
Yes.
Then you'll understand.
Yes.
But don't speak ill of it.
Right.
Yes.
Woo.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's all I'm simply saying is God wants to make you feel better.
Amen.
Amen.
God wants to make you a better person.
Amen. Amen.
When I say that, somebody says, well, I don't need to be a better person. Well, maybe if you don't be. But guess what? He wants you to be able to feel contentment.
Right.
Because if you're content, you wouldn't want anything else but that.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you're satisfied, you wouldn't want anything else.
Right.
All you young people, you're always wanting. If you had the right thing, you would never want.
Amen.
Pay attention now.
Thank you.
pay attention. Start talking about things that are not on the surface. We're talking about things that are below the surface. We're talking about things that you need to hear. Amen.
Amen.
So by you coming to God, there are so many opportunities that are opened up to you. There's so much potential. Listen to that. Opportunities and potential for you to be able to experience and have life. What did Jesus say? I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen. Amen.
That's a promise he's given to us, that we could have life. Have life. Now, when you think about life and you think about what he says, have life, to be able to live life to the fullest, to be able to be content,
yes,
to be able to be satisfied, to be able to be happy, to be able to be free.
Yeah.
Yes. Woo.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing like being free.
Free from all the anxiety and frustration and fears and disappointments and you name it. Go on and go on and go on and go on.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
He will open up all that to us, all those opportunities. And of course, because of that, we have a lot of potential. There's a lot of doors he can open up for us. And that involves relationship. Relationship. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Relationship. You know what the scripture talks about this? Now, just hold on. I'll be getting in the word here. When it talks about fellowship, because that's what God has called us to. He's called us to the fellowship of his son. That's what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 1. The fellowship of his son. So he's called us to the fellowship of his son. But in calling us to the fellowship of his son, amen, we're also going to engage not just the fellowship of the Son, but the fellowship of the Father. Mm-hmm. So if we fellowship the Son, we're going to have fellowship with the Father. And guess what? We're going to have fellowship with one another.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can see the doors that are opened up. We come into a place. We come into the body of Christ. We're going to have fellowship with one another. Guess what that involves? Personal relationships.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Man, do we need to garnish our skills.
Yes. Yeah.
About relationships.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that means? That means getting along.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Getting along for the good things. Getting along for the better.
Right. Amen.
Interpersonal relationships. I'm not talking about psychology either. Are vital to your spiritual, mental, and physical well-being. So fellowship. You know what fellowship means? It means having companions. Having companions. We need one another.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Yes,
we do.
If that wasn't so, why did God make Adam for Eve? Or Eve for Adam?
Right.
Right.
He made Eve for Adam. Why? He didn't want Adam to be alone.
That's right.
We need one another.
Amen.
So because of that, there's a structure right there. Companionship.
Right.
Because of that, family. So we could have somebody to be with.
Yeah.
Right.
Why do you think there's families? Why do you think you have a mom? Why do you think you have a dad?
Yeah.
Because God
right.
structured that way.
Yes.
So you could have somebody to be with.
Amen. Yeah.
Somebody to live with. Here's the other part. Somebody that you can live with.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Amen.
Pay attention. Yes, somebody you can live with.
Amen.
In today's world, people say, oh, I just can't stand living with them. Why is that? No true fellowship, no
right.
true companionship,
right.
no true relationship.
Right.
That's what the devil wants. He wants every home to be divided.
Yes.
He wants every home to be dysfunctional.
Yes.
He doesn't want there to be any communication.
Yep.
He want, you know why? Because that God structured it.
Yep.
God structured the family, so that's why he did that. He didn't want the family to have any kind of cohesiveness or strength or unity. He wants the family to be divided. So that's why here it comes. He just, a lot of things that come. Guess what? And if we operate, if we function in the way that God wants a family to function, guess what? From mom to dad to the whole household, to all the children, everybody would be a lot happier.
Yep.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
It's just that simple.
That's right.
Amen.
So it's important to have these relationships. It's important that these relationships should be wholesome and spiritual for our good and the good of others. That's what God called us to.
Yeah.
Amen. So that we could be good, healthy, wholesome, strong families. Happy families.
Yep.
Praise God. The church doesn't make strong families. The strong families make the church.
Amen.
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 That's right.
It takes a little, it takes some effort. There's a reason why when we talk about that, when we talk about structure, God's structure. If we just follow the plan, we're going to find out it's going to work. If we just follow the plan, we'll find out that God knows what he's doing. Open your Bibles up with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. I didn't announce it, but there's at the beginning of the service, but there is going to be a water baptism after the service.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Andy is going to be baptized tonight.
Awesome. Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
Romans chapter 12. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Beginning with verse number 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Man, talk about taking care of a lot of things in that first passage. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that means? Don't let it be a love that is just not real love. Let it be real love. Let love be without dissimulation. So when he's talking about that kind of, because you know why? When we dissimulate, you know what we do when it's not real love, what we when we do to dissimulate, it's going to separate, or it's going to push somebody away. So let love be without dissimulation. Let it be genuine love.
Amen.
Let it be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Listen to this. Abhor that which is evil. Abhor it. None of us should have anything to do with evil.
Amen.
Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. You know what? That's the thing about this. He said, in honor, preferring one another. In other words, guess what? We're not just going to be concerned about ourselves. We're going to be concerned about others.
Right.
In honor, preferring one another.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Not slothful in business. Not slothful. Not lazy.
Right.
Mm. Not laid back.
Right.
Huh? Not complacent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. fervent in spirit, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Let me stop right there. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. So why does he say that? Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. The Apostle James said this. We're not supposed to curse our brethren.
Right.
We're not supposed to curse them. Why? He said, because they were made in the similitude of God.
Yes.
Amen.
So we don't want to curse anybody, especially when we're all made in the similitude of God.
Right.
So I think that's the reason why he said that. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. In other words, being empathetic and sympathetic.
Yes.
Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, look what he says. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Woo! Man. Let me tell you something. What did I say a few days ago? To be a Christian, you're going to be challenged with a lot of things.
Yes. Amen.
A lot of things are going to be a challenge to you to be a Christian, to be able to walk in this manner, to be able to walk what the Apostle Paul is talking about. To be able to walk in this manner is challenging to our human nature. Because our human nature would want to be contrary to everything about God.
Amen.
So it's a challenge to us to be able to live that kind of life and to even have that kind of thinking, to have that mentality, to even, amen, be able to walk like that every day of our lives. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to try to do good.
Yeah.
You ever notice that? But it's not a challenge to do evil.
Right. Very true.
That's easy.
Man, there's so much that you need to consider, that you need to take into consideration, because there's more to God than you know. So he says, dearly beloved, in verse number 19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now look what he says. He concludes it with this. Be not overcome of evil. But overcome evil with good. There is a challenge again. Woo. It's kind of hard. I just totally, guess what? You probably all can, you could probably all agree with me. This is a challenge to our human nature.
Yeah.
Because everything we talked about, let me say, everything I just mentioned, it's you.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
Human nature. That's just the way we are in the flesh. In the flesh. That's the way we are. So it's a challenge. We read that, everybody goes, oh man, that's that's a lot there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can live up to that. Remember, we're talking about relationships, interpersonal relationships. First of all, here's the the way it goes, this is the how would I say, the process, because you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Listen to this, everybody. You have to start somewhere. So if you want to be able to pursue this, if you want to be able to live that kind of life, the first place that you start is with God. Mm-hmm. You make your concessions, you make your amends with God. Get it right with Him first.
Amen.
When you get it right with Him, then you'll be able to get it right with everybody else.
Amen.
But get it right with God first, and then you can go from there. It's just it's a process. So when you do that, you do that. And amen. Once you clear all those things, what does the Bible say when Paul was talking about repentance, when Paul was talking about doing what was right, he said, and that's what he said, clearing yourselves. Clearing yourselves. When you clear yourselves, whenever you're in trouble or whenever you're accused of something, guess what? Our first challenge is this, clearing ourselves.
Right.
Proving our innocence.
Right.
But sometimes we're not innocent.
Right.
Sometimes we're guilty. But even in that process, we still have to clear ourselves. We still have to make it right.
Yeah.
Don't leave anything undone.
Right.
When it concerns you or your spiritual well-being. Praise God.
Amen.
Don't let it grow and fester.
Right.
Amen.
Because it'll make a miserable person
yes.
out of you.
Amen.
Yep.
Yes,
so that's why it's really important for us. It's really important for us to understand this. This is an admonition by the Apostle Paul. This is what he admonished us to do. We can do this. You know, we look at it and we say, man, that is impossible. But in order for us, guess what? You know, there's nothing. You know what? We talk about love. We talk about love, being loved. We want people to love us, don't we?
Yes.
We want to be loved, but sometimes we need to understand this. Love is reciprocal.
Right.
Yep.
We shouldn't just be the receivers of love. We should also be the givers of love.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
So to be able to employ or to let love abound, we've got to do that. We've got to learn how to, you know, like we said the other day about love, what that really means is we have to, amen, ourselves, humble ourselves to be able to love like that. Did you know that? God, here's the thing. Why did God create us the way He created us? He created us with a heart.
Yes.
So we can feel. Why do you think we have emotions?
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's why we have them.
Why do you think we can laugh? And why do you think we can cry and we can feel sad and we can be angry?
Right.
Those are emotions.
Yes.
God created us with emotions.
Yes.
But for the most part, He wants our emotions to be healthy emotions.
Right.
And this is what's involved in it, your heart. How many of you, is everybody paying attention?
Yeah.
How many of you have heart disease? How many of you have heart disease? How many of you need a heart transplant? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If you have all these things in your heart, what do you say? Bitterness, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, murder. If you have all that in your heart, guess what? You have a heart disease.
Yeah.
You need a heart transplant.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Lying, adultery, fornication.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Yep.
Yep.
Evil communication.
Woo.
So here's the Lord trying to minister to us. He's trying to. And I hope some of you aren't sitting there right now and you're squirming. Oh, I came to every time I come to church. It's like I got this big target on my chest. Why is that? Guess what? I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in here. Or I don't know what's there. God knows.
Right.
God's the one that puts it all together. So obviously, for this reason, because he wants to help you.
Yes.
He wants to minister to you.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Because he knows what you need.
Amen.
So you can be healthier spiritually,
yes.
mentally, yes. emotionally, physically.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 16. When we're talking about the body of Christ, and we're talking about us being in the body of Christ, being part of the church, when God calls us, when we're chosen, verse number 16, look what he says about the church in Ephesians chapter. Let's back up. Let's just back up one verse, number 15. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Look what he says. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So now, what he's saying, grow up into him, mature. Growth is important to you and I. We all know this. How many of you are aware of this? You don't stay a baby.
Yep.
You don't stay an infant. You don't stay a toddler all your life.
Right.
You grow. You can't stop growth. It just happens. It just happens. When you're in an environment, especially when you can grow healthy, you're in a healthy environment, you're going to grow up healthy. But if you're not in an unhealthy environment, guess what? You're not going to grow healthy. And so to grow up and to grow, to mature, all of us, I want you to understand something. You may think you're mature, but guess what? You're not.
Right.
Why? By your attitude.
Wow.
By your conduct.
Right. Right.
By your behavior.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay. So look what he says. This is God's will. This is the will of God for you and I. As his body, as the fellowship that we have with him and with one another. This is God's will. This is what God's purpose is. This is what he is working at doing with you and I. Man, it's those of you that think it's, you know, come to church, everything's just peachy keen. Everybody see all these gray hairs?
That's right.
They're there for a reason.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. I don't know if it's because it's in my DNA or... Praise God. All you young people, I envy you all sitting there with your nice black, brown... Blonde, red, purple, green.
No.
Here I am, I've got gray. Some of us have gray. Some of us elders have gray.
Oh, yeah.
It's just life. Just life happens that way.
Amen.
So this is a proof of something. You know, it's either could denote the experiences, wisdom, all that stuff, or it could denote stress or
Amen. That's right.
All the, and so here's my task, to try to somehow persuade each and every one of you. Come on, let's get together.
Yep.
What we need to do is get together and come together as a body.
Yep.
And we need to cooperate with one another.
Yes.
Well, first of all, cooperate with God.
Yes.
If you cooperate with God, we're going to be able to cooperate with one another.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But when we do not pay attention,
right,
or we do not take heed, or we do not put into practice what God is trying to bring to us, guess what?
Right.
And what does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? A house divided cannot stand.
Yep.
So here I am, I'm trying to work with everybody because everybody's on different levels.
Yep.
Everybody's on different levels. So here I am trying to somehow collect all those, you know, what you have in your mind, all the intellectual things that you have and all your knowledge and all that stuff. I'm trying to get it all together. I'm trying to bring it to a place where we can all together, we can collectively understand. And I know you young people, Cad, because you pick up a lot of other things out here. They call it street smarts.
Street smarts.
But that's the wrong term. It's not street smarts.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing smart about it.
Street stupid.
Praise God. I'm just being...
You're right.
I'm not saying it to make fun of you. Don't misjudge me or misread me. I'm not saying that to make fun of you, but that's just the world is, the way the world is. So look what he says in verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Does everybody see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fitly joined together. The whole body, that's you and I, fitly joined together. A good example is that. Look at this wall.
Right.
Look at this mural. Yeah. These are all stones.
Yeah.
All these stones are fitly joined together. Look what, compacted. Look at different shapes, but somehow they fit in wherever they are. Compacted.
Right.
Yep.
Amen. That's right.
That's God's will for us to be like that wall right there.
Amen.
Fitly joined together.
Yes. Amen.
And compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So that means you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you notice we got some big stones, we got some big square stones, we got some rectangle stones, we've got some little bitty stones. They're all shapes and sizes and colors. What does that mean? That's you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
You're in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of those stones are you. But that should be the kind of stone you should be, a living stone.
Yes.
Amen.
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 So he said, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. According to the, look what he says, the effectual working in the measure of every part. In other words, every part is the effectual working of every part. Every part. Every part, not just some parts, every part.
Right.
Maketh increase of the body in the unto the edifying of itself in love. So let's break that down. Let's break it down. Let's see. He says, compacted. Is that what he says?
Yes.
From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Compacted. You know what that means? Compacted means knit together.
Right.
Amen.
Knit together. By that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, of every part. So what does he mean by effectual working? And effective. Everything that we all do together as the body of Christ, guess what? Everything that we do together, everything that we put into this body, because you're a part of the body, it should be effective. Okay? And then he says, in the measure of every part. In the measure of every part. You know what that means? In the measure of every part, it means this. Every part doing its share.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So guess what? You're all in this. Don't all put it on pastor. Oh, pastor has to do this. No. You're all part of it too.
Amen.
Amen.
This is you're part of the church.
Yes.
Yep.
So this is our fellowship. So guess what? You need to put in what God called you to do. You need to do your part for the church. Okay? Is that understandable?
Yes.
Okay? And cause the church to grow. Everything that we all do together as the body. As the body. What we all, those of us that are born again, what we all filled with?
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Where are some of you as far as your experience with the Holy Ghost? Pay attention now. Where are you right now as far as your experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost? Where are you? Are you filled? Are you half filled? Or not filled? Is the Holy Ghost working in your life? Or have you quenched the Spirit of God in your life? Because you, guess what? Oh, I got the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues a few months ago. Hey. What about today?
Yes.
Did you pray today? Did you speak in tongues today?
Amen.
If you didn't, guess what? You have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't have you. In other words, guess what? You're the one in control, not the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So think about that. Think about what God wants to do. Think about what God wants to, amen, to do to help you to become part of the body and to be in that place that you need to be. And guess what? There's no such thing as a carnal Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
In other words, people that just live in the flesh.
Yeah.
We're all supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We're supposed to be nurturing.
Yes.
Is everybody paying attention?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
I'm waving to everybody. Wave back. All right. I know you're live. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Guess what? When we have the Holy Ghost, we should be walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
We should be led of the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
The fruit of the Spirit should be in our lives.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit. Read what that means in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
That should be a witness in your life. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Holy Ghost should be manifest in your life. It should be something that is evidently seen because you're full of the Spirit.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's anointing. Because when you're full of the Spirit, you're anointed.
Amen.
You're anointed. People have that anointing. So here's the thing. Here's a rule. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter. Here's a rule. Here's a rule for all of us. Here's a rule. Here's a rule. We do have rules.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you know that even the devil has rules?
Yes.
People that, you know, I'm not into rules. Well, you may not be into God's rules, but you're into other rules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But look what he says in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse number 16. Look what he says. If you have it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
So look what he says. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Lana, I heard that. So that rule is, Paul said, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Guess what? Here's the thing. Here I am, and human nature is like this. Human nature is this. We always want to be judgmental.
Yes. Amen.
Then the Word of God comes along, guess what? Then we even get more judgmental.
Wow.
Knowledge puffeth up, because you know the Word right away.
Yep.
Right away that finger comes out.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Oh, I want to point that finger.
Wow.
But remember, you're pointing with that one finger, you got three more pointing back at you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're always judgmental.
Yes. Yes.
A little air of emulation. Mm-hmm. Arrogance.
Oh, Jesus.
You go down the street here, you run into some people that call themselves professors. They're like,
yeah.
Oh, you don't know as much as I do.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, you said that.
I have a master's degree. I have a doctor's degree. But that just shouldn't make you lift your nose at anybody.
Right.
Huh? But that's how it is. Knowledge puffeth up. That's the hard thing, especially for apostolics. We get more understanding of the Word of God right away.
Yeah.
You know what we want to do? We want to use it.
Yeah.
It's a weapon. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
All of you.
Mm-hmm.
All of you. You're not walking right with God.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're not where you should be.
Right.
Huh?
Oh, Lord.
Here's the thing. You know what the Bible says about the Lord? He makes the sun and the rain to shine and to be poured out upon the just and the unjust.
Yes.
He pours out that blessing.
That's right.
And you know what they said? He said, be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, because He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Does he look at His creation and say, oh no, I'm going to keep the rain back from them? No. He makes it fall on everybody.
Amen.
But we're to be like Him. We're supposed to be perfect like Him. You know what that means? He's mature.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
So we're to know no man after the flesh. Guess what? You and I are filled with the Holy Ghost. Why are we looking at each other in the flesh?
Right.
Amen.
Jesus.
Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. In other words, they knew Him in the flesh, but guess what? They said, we don't know Him in the flesh anymore. That's the way it should be. That's the rule we should follow. We should look at, you know what? When I look at you, I don't look at your flesh. I look at the person that's here. I look at you being a child of God, being full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yes. So think about that, saints. Here's another thing, too. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. It's kind of something. Praise God. Okay. Everybody got it?
Yes.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 14, verse number, where am I? Verse number 20. It says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Now, does everybody know what that means?
When you act immature, you are immature.
Yeah. He's talking about immaturity. He's talking about maturity. But the way he's saying it, he's saying it, be not children in understanding.
Right.
In other words, when it comes to really being able to understand certain things, certain important things, don't be children. Don't be children. All you young people, I say this. I'm an elder. I'm probably 50 years your senior. Praise God. I have that much more experience and life and knowledge than you. So because I have that much more experience in life and knowledge than you, guess what? The normal process, or when it comes to being able to understand certain things, our human nature should say, well, because pastor is an elderly man and he's older than us, then what we need to do is we need to follow his example. And guess what? Are you children ready? All you young people ready? All you teenagers? It's like that with your mom and your dad, too.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo! And guess what? I'll be honest with you. You don't have any say.
Right.
Amen.
You don't have any say. And when I say that, I mean this. You don't tell your mom or your dad what they should do.
Right.
You know what that is? That's usurping authority.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the order of authority is God, Christ, man, woman, family. Mm-hmm. So you're at the bottom. Now here's the thing. You might say, oh, I'm at the bottom. But guess what? That's not a bad place to be.
Right.
Because as long as you're in that chain of authority, and as long as you submit to your to that chain of authority, you're going to have power.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
You know what? The devil doesn't want you to have power.
Yeah.
He wants you to be disobedient.
Right.
So he wants to strip you of your power.
Right.
That's why Paul and Peter said this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Amen.
Which is good.
Right.
You know why? If the devil can strip you of your power, he'd want you to disobey your parents.
Amen.
So you won't have any authority over him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why it's important for us to be able in children. What do you say? Brethren, be not children in understanding. Don't be don't just be so naive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Howbeit in malice be children. Now here's the thing. In malice be children. A lot of people, once somebody says, what does that mean? Does that mean we can be bad? In malice be children. Guess what? Guess what? These little ones. You got Lana. Where's this? August here tonight? Oh, he's okay. We've got Legacy. We've got those three young, one young gentleman back there. Guess what they are? They're innocent.
Yes.
Amen.
I really believe that they're at the point in age right now, they haven't been influenced by the world.
Right.
I can't say that for the rest of you.
That's right.
Because you're out there in the world, you get influenced by the world.
Oh, yeah.
So because they're that age, they're innocent. They don't know nothing. So he said, in children, amen. In how does he say that? Can somebody read that read? In malice be children.
In malice be children.
You know what that means? Malice means this. It means being bad or being naughty. Being bad or being naughty. So he's saying this, in malice be children. You know what he's saying? When it comes to being bad and being naughty, be innocent. Because these children are innocent.
Right.
Yeah. Is that understandable?
Yes.
So when it comes to that, don't be guilty, be innocent.
Right.
All right? Keep yourself innocent. Why is it? That was back in my day when I was a young man. When somebody accuses us of something, guess what? We wanted to prove our innocence. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I remember I got blamed for somebody starting some a fire in a trash can downstairs in the high school. And I just happened to be using the bathroom, and I was heading back, and somebody started a trash can on fire. And I just happened to walk by, and the janitor see me and said, hey! Guess what they did? They took me up to the office. Here's the one that started the fire. And I said, no, I didn't. Oh, yes, you did. And I knew I didn't start no fire.
Yeah.
Here comes the principal. Did you start that fire? No, I didn't. Are you lying? No, I'm not. What were you doing down there? Using the bathroom? Huh?
Yeah.
And here comes the secretary into the office. And there's the principal and this teacher that drug me up there. And they said, you have to start that fire. Here comes the secretary. She walks in, she says, I know him. He didn't start the fire.
Oh.
Sure. Threw them a whammy.
Yeah.
Wasn't even 5 minutes. Here comes somebody else, and here they had the culprit.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, I could just grin at the principal and grin at that teacher.
Yeah.
I knew I was innocent.
Yeah.
Guess what? How come we can never defend our innocence?
Right.
Why is it everybody wants to be like everybody else and be a bad boy or a bad girl?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, why are you trying to be like the world?
Right.
Praise God. I didn't mean to get off on that. So he says that. So he says, but in understanding, be men. In other words, when he says that, in understanding, be mature. How many of you really want to be mature?
Amen.
Amen.
All you young people, I just feel for you because you're trying, you know what? You get caught up in the wrong things and you don't think like you should think.
Right.
When you're facing the world, you have to be mature.
Yes.
When you're facing the world, you have to be aware. You have to be cautious. You have to discern.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything's good.
No.
So in understanding, be mature. Be mature. Prove that you can be a mature person.
Yes.
Yes.
Prove that you can be responsible.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Because that's what it's going to take.
Amen. Yes.
Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Amen.
Just pop over to the chapter right before that in chapter 13. Pop over to that and you'll see this. In chapter 13, in 1 Corinthians, in verse number 11. And look what he says there, verse number 11. When I was a child,
mm-hmm.
I spake as a child. Guess what? Development.
Yeah.
Growth. Development. Woo-hoo. Here's the thing. Things are out of whack. Because
mm-hmm.
here you have young people that are trying to be like adults, but their level of mentality doesn't line up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Their behavior their conduct doesn't line up, even though they're trying to declare maturity. You're doing it the wrong way. You know what the first thing that we do is when we're not... I used to be a teenager, by the way. Did you know that? There was one time I was actually 12 years old. You get to that certain age, 15, 16. I don't know what it is about teenagers, but you get to that certain age and you automatically know everything.
Yes.
Wow. Ooh. I know more than my dad. Yeah. Well, I never told that to him. Woo! And some of you think, you believe in abuse. No, that's not abuse. That's discipline.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad my parents disciplined me.
Me too.
I'm glad. Me too. I did some things I shouldn't have done. I got disciplined. Hey, mm-hmm. You're a man, you're a woman when you can take what you deserve.
Yes. Take what you deserve. Yes. Amen.
But I never acted that way with my parents. No, if you knew my dad, no. We used to have a saying amongst the siblings, the greatest fear is the old man.
Wow.
And then when we get out of hand and my mom would say, wait till your dad comes home. No kidding, we'd stand there and she'd say that, guess what you do? Actually do that shudder because we knew. Wait till your dad gets home. We knew, hey, that was it. It's good to have that fear of authority. Know that when you've done wrong, hey, guess what? What does the Bible say? Hey, since we're in the Bible, we might as well do a little Bible studying. Okay? Colossians chapter 3, if you go there, in verse number 25, this is a freebie. I'm not going to charge you for it. Look what he says in verse number 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
Right.
So if you've done wrong, guess what? That's why it's good not to do wrong.
Right.
Amen.
That's why it's good to stay straight.
Right.
So anyway, back to 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's just that part of development and growth and maturity that takes place. You cannot stop it. It takes place, but I hope and I pray that everybody would, amen, be able to receive the instruction, the knowledge, the wisdom that you need to have to be able to be truly a mature person. Because you're going to find out that when you get to that point of adulthood, whenever that is for you, guess what? Here's another thing. The law says 18. No. The age of maturity is different for men and women. Women mature a little before men do. Maturity for a woman may happen maybe anywhere from the early 20s to the mid 20s where they mature. Men, it takes them, men, 35 years to 50 years old.
Oh, gee.
And we think. We're built differently.
Yes.
Yeah. Some men mature though. If they allow God into their lives, they'll mature.
Amen.
They'll receive understanding. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, it will not depart from him. So when you instruct a child in the ways of God, guess what? That knowledge, that wisdom is going to keep that child.
Yes.
So that can happen. Praise God. Amen. So relationships are important for you and I. In the body, it's up, we need to have good, strong relationships with one another.
Yes.
Let love cover a multitude of sins. That's what exists in the body. Let love cover. We all, you know what? If you looked hard enough, and some of you are like that, you want to find fault in others, you'll find all kinds of fault.
Yes.
But you know what we need to do is we need to look for the good.
Yes. Amen.
That's
right. That's right.
Look for the good. Like you said, we don't know anybody after the flesh. Guess what? We all have the same Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We all have the same spiritual Father.
Amen.
We've all been born again of the Spirit. We've all been begotten by the Word, so we're full of the Holy Ghost. We all have the same Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We're all His children.
Yes.
Okay, is everybody ready for this?
Yes.
Amen.
Look what he says. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1, but whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. And everyone that loveth him, look what he says, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Woo! So let me just put it into modern terms. If you love God, you're going to love those who are begotten of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So in other words, we're going to love our brothers.
Yes.
We're going to love our sisters.
Yes.
We're going to love them. Why? Because we're born again. We're born of God. So we love them that are begotten of him too. So why is it we can't love? Maturity, 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 maturity. You see that development. You see that growth. All the little bitty ones start rolling around on the floor, and pretty soon they're getting up on their hands and knees and starting to crawl. And then pretty soon they start to walk, and pretty soon they're staggering around until they can get it right. But once they get really good at it, then they're walking. And pretty soon they're running. All that. But maturity, growth, development, all that happens. It takes place. But you're in that place. You're in the growing stage. Guess what? That's what needs to take place in this body.
Yeah.
Developing in the things of God. Coming into that understanding. Becoming mature. Praise God. That's what the Lord wants us to do. So it's really important. It's really important. We've got to have good relationships. Have to have strong relationships in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We have to. It needs to be developed. Thank you very much. We're out of time already. Amen. Thank you. I hope you understood. I hope you understood. I hope you did. Thank you, Jesus. Then have a water baptism shortly. There you go.